All right, guys, what's up? I wanted to do this a little bit earlier. Yesterday, last night, I had just a horrible migraine, so I just really couldn't speak last night. But I'm getting this in late, before the weekend really starts here. I figure big weekend. Obviously, we got fights tonight, UFC. I don't even know what card we're on. Please, somebody help me with this. We got the UFC tonight, and oh, 312. UFC 312. God, I can't remember what number we're on. UFC 312 tonight, down in Australia. And then we got obviously Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow night, Super Bowl 59, down in New Orleans. So we'll get into both of those events. We'll start with the fights tonight. Not exactly the best pay-per-view card on paper. I'll be busy most of the day anyway. I'll be at the fights in Manchester Combat Zone. So I won't really see much of this card outside of the main events. And I'm not really that upset about it. I mean, it's kind of a lax card. Obviously, I'm sure there's going to be some, great talent displayed, but and guys will be on this card that we'll know about in the future, but on paper it's not exactly the most exciting thing outside of the two main events, which I mean I think are intriguing fights. Obviously first in the co-main event we have Zhang Wei Li and Tatiana Suarez, and an anticipated women's strawweight championship bout. Suarez, obviously coming in, she's kind of been somewhat looked at as an uncrowned queen of that division for a little while now. She's obviously had injuries, she's had, health issues and all that stuff that have sort of kept her from competing consistently enough to get the title. I think she fought in 2019 and then she didn't fight again until 2023. She did fight twice in 2023, but that's the last time she fought, against Jessica Andrade, back in August of 2023. She's coming off two submission wins in that time period, so there really wasn't much ring rust in regards to, that layoff, that long layoff that she had. Undefeated, 11-0, definitely deserving of a title shot. Like I said, a lot of people have looked at her for a long time as an uncrowned champion, but she's just never been able to stay in the cage consistently enough to get into the title shot. And now she's facing Zhang Wei Li, who might be the best all time at this weight class. Kind of hard to say because she's also another one that really doesn't compete consistently. The last time she fought was back at UFC 300, which was almost a year now, against her countrywoman, Yan Xiaonang. You look at it, this should be a really good, this really interesting fight on paper. I think this is probably, I mean, the most intriguing, realistic women's bout that they could have made. Which I think is good for the women's division. I think that there's been a little bit of lack of buzz for quite some time now. So I think we were in kind of desperate need of a good women's fight to get fans excited over. Really hard for me to pick against Zhang Wei Li. I'm sorry, I know how good Tatiana Suarez's wrestling is. It's just weird, and Zhang is the underdog, at least as of now. Obviously, it was very tight yesterday. So, is it possible to move to a pick? I don't know. I'm not going to check at the moment. But she's been the underdog this whole time, a small, slight underdog, which is crazy when you really consider that she's in the prime of her career. She's been defending the she's defended the belt a couple times now. Few times over, she's probably, like I said, she might be the best all time at that weight class. You could definitely, it's really kind of her and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Definitely, Jędrzejczyk has the advantage in terms of title defenses, and she was a little bit more active in the cage, but Wei Li beat her twice, so you gotta consider that. But It's really hard for me to pick against Jean Wiley. I must be missing something with this betting line. I was stunned when I saw that Wiley was the underdog. I get it. Suarez undefeated, probably has the best wrestling out of anyone in the in any women's division. She's finished four of her last five opponents, so she's not just going out there and just grinding out decisions. She's submitting people. But I do think that when you watch the two of them, definitely Whaley's the more explosive, the more athletic, I think. Where Suarez has an advantage is definitely the size. She's very tall for that division. She's very big for that division. And I think it th that's where I think Suarez can has an advantage, and maybe that's where the betting line is coming in, is size advantage, wrestling advantage, obviously. Whaley's never really been, out grappled though, so it is definitely a little bit. It's definitely a little interesting in terms of the betting line. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it should be entertaining. I'm going to pick Zhang Weili. Like I said, hard for me to pick against, arguably the best in that division in the prime of her career in a title defense. Especially if you're going to give it to me at plus money, I'm going to take her every time. I think it should be a very good fight, but I do think Weili is going to be able to grind one out here. And she's got the championship level experience. Suarez doesn't. I think that that's obviously big when you get into the, fifth round, fourth, fifth round. So I'm going to go with Zhang Weili in that fight. I think it should be a very entertaining fight. I think it's a good stylistic matchup. And yeah, hopefully it brings some buzz to the women's division because it really hasn't been any for quite some time now. In the main event, we got Sean Strickland and Driscus du Plessis in a rematch of a fight from last year. I believe it was around this time last year. Actually, it was, so I think it was January of 2024. So obviously that first fight, bit of a controversial decision, very close fight. I got a little annoyed, at the time with people saying that Strickland was robbed in that first fight, and I never really felt that way. Live in the fight, I definitely scored it for Du Plessis. I agreed with the decision. I would have understood if they gave it the other way. I thought it was a razor close fight. I wouldn't say robbery for either side. But personally, when I was watching that fight live, I remember scoring it for Du Plessis. And I remember, obviously, you see the stats afterwards, and Strickland was outstriking Du Plessis, by a pretty, decent margin. But it never really felt that way in the fight. It never really felt like the stand up was so slanted in someone's favor. And then, yes, even though Du Plessis didn't really do much with those takedowns that he hit, you do, if the striking doesn't feel like there's a clear advantage and then you get a takedown, yes, that's going to win you a round. Unfortunately, do I love that? No, not really. But unfortunately, this is a sport. It's a bit of a game, and that's just what comes with it. So, you can't just look at the stat sheet after the fight and say, "Oh, well, this person landed this amount of strikes in that person." Well, then why even have judges? Why even have scoring? Why even do any of that if we're just going to look at the stat sheet afterwards and say, "Well, this happens." So, I think that. Obviously, the first fight, Strickland was the favorite. Now, Du Plessis is a pretty sizable favorite this time around. Du Plessis has the advantage of coming off that submission win over Israel Adesanya, and I think that that's definitely gained him some respect from people, fans, MMA, just in general. I think that there was a time where people just thought that, he was just getting lucky and it was just all flukes. But I think people see that there's something to it, whatever it is. I mean, he's a very weird style, but man, he just wins fights. He's tough, he's gritty. He just has that factor that you really can't account for. And it's taken this long for people to really kind of catch up to it. There's nothing really that you watch of him that you would say, "Well, he does this well." He just really he makes people fight like almost down. Like he makes people fight down a level. Like he makes Adesanya look sloppy in the striking. He makes Strickland kind of look, tentative, out of whack. Catches Rob Whittaker being sloppy. He just has like a aura about him that just kind of like gets him a way to win fights. And there's something to, I don't know, admire about that in a world where everyone's perfect, and trying to perfect their craft. Duplessis is just kind of out here just, rolling with the punches and making it a tough, gritty fight, and it's paying off for him. He's won the belt, he's defended it. But now I almost feel like because there's been this energy shift towards giving Duplessis all this credit that I almost feel like it's maybe too much. I mean, minus 218 on the line, that seems just crazy. And I get it. Strickland is known to not have the greatest performances either. But the first fight was really, really, really close. And, like I said, there's still something with Duplessis where it's just like, what does he really do well? And I've been a big Duplessis guy for a little while now. But my gut is just telling me that it's gonna come to an end. Like you just can't reliably win title fights over and over and over again like this. So I'm gonna take Sean Strickland. That's kind of a late decision. I've really been kind of on the fence all week, but I don't know. I feel like Strickland did good enough in that first fight to where I could see just a couple of adjustments, he could win the second one. And I don't really know if Duplessis really got any better. I just know that he has more experience now in these championship fights. But so is, Strickland's been fighting these 5-round fights, for a while now. So, and he's, obviously beat Adesanya as well. So, I think that they're both kind of even in that sort of experience regard. I just think that, yeah, Strickland just has to not get taken down. And he can instead flip those rounds to him, and he can win a controversial close decision in his own right. So I'm going to go with Strickland, especially at the betting line. You're going to give me that amount of juice on Duplessis. It's really hard to pick him and his style. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Strickland. I think it's gonna be probably similar to their first fight. It's probably gonna be one on the margins. Probably the next day, I'm sure I'm gonna be seeing the statistics of everybody sharing the statistics and being like, "How could you give the fight to this guy?" Or maybe the side by side. The other one is the side by side picture of one guy who got hit with one punch and in the first round in his eye or whatever, in one round and his eye's all swollen and the other guy's not really touched. That happens too. I'm gonna see one of those. But yeah, I think it's gonna be similar to their first fight. So I don't think it's gonna be the most exciting, entertaining fight, but it's gonna be passable, and I think that it's gonna be another close decision. I don't see Duplessis doing to Strickland what he did to Adesanya. Yeah, I just think that Strickland's a little bit too defensive-minded to get caught up in that. If anything, really, Strickland has done the best at dealing with Duplessis. So, there's that for him. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Sean Strickland in that fight, and I'm interested to see how it turns out. I'll definitely try to catch it. at the end of the Combat Zone fights. But then, obviously, the highlight of the weekend is Super Bowl 59, a rematch of Super Bowl 57, right? Yes, 2 years ago, down in Arizona. This one taking place in New Orleans at the Superdome. Obviously, kind of always a good spot for a Super Bowl. Old building, so they don't go there very often. But, like, when you think of the Super Bowl, it's like you kind of think of, like, two places. You think of... the Superdome is always number one. Like, you always think that it's just synonymous with the Super Bowl. And then, you kind of think, like, Miami. There's been a lot of games. There's been a lot of Super Bowls there as well. Again, not as much because it's kind of an old stadium. But it's nice to see it back in New Orleans. It looks like it's been kind of, you know, anyone that ever goes down there for the Super Bowl always says it's the best spot. So I always, you know, hope to ever go there for a Super Bowl week one year. But definitely a good backdrop for this game, which, you know, I think is definitely the two best teams in the NFL. You know, you have the Chiefs, back-to-back defending champions, and then the Eagles, who, you know, not a lot of people really were believing in them all year. They were able to put up a good record, but they always kind of had that backdrop all year of, you know, the coach and the quarterback don't really may or may not get along behind the scenes. We know the quarterback has had issues with his receiver. You know, a lot of people really didn't believe in the Eagles all year, but they really came alive at the end of the year and into the playoffs. So I think that this is pretty confidently the two best teams in the NFL. You know, obviously you had the Lions put up a big record, but, you know, they get bounced in the first game of the playoffs that they played. And I don't think that, I never really believed in them with their defense. So I would pretty confidently say that had the Eagles met the Lions in the playoffs, I think I would have picked the Eagles. Definitely probably the two most well-rounded teams in the league. You know, the Eagles have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. I would definitely say that from a roster standpoint, the Eagles are the better team, especially, you know, up front on defense, their receivers, the backfield, all that you got to put in the Chiefs' favor. In the Chiefs' favor, it comes down to the coach and the quarterback. And, you know, it's going to be interesting, you know, because you would give, the Chiefs have kind of been the roster disadvantage both of these both of these last two Super Bowls, and they won both of them. So it's not out of the realm for Mahomes and Andy Reid to win games that they are at a talent disadvantage in. Where the Chiefs, kind of like Triscus Duplessis, they just have a thing where they just know how to win games. You know, a lot of people want to credit the refs to a lot of that. And sure, they're on the benefit of a couple, you know, 50-50 calls that just go their way. They do have, you know, sort of that thing where it's just like it comes down to the end and there's a big call and it always seems to go in their favor. It's true. It can be a little annoying. You know, I've been of the mindset all year that, well, eventually that bad call is going to go against them, or that controversial call is going to go against them and it's going to bite them in the ass. But it never did. It never did. All year they've kind of been able to, you know, get away by the skin of their teeth. From week one with that Isaiah Likely, you know, stepping his toe out of bounds the back of the end zone, all the way to this game against Buffalo with, you know, the maybe gained a first down, maybe not. I thought it was a bad spot at the time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, the Chiefs, they put themselves in position to, you know, close out these games. And yeah, they put themselves in position to get the benefit of those calls, or, you know, get the benefit of the other team making a mistake. So, you know, when you look at that, you got to respect the Chiefs. I know a lot of people really been annoying me all week. You know, a lot of people seem to be acting like there's like an attack on like their enjoyment of football because the Chiefs are in it. And I'm a little bit chiefed out too. I wasn't really rooting for them to make it to the Super Bowl. I was rooting for, you know, a different team to get in. You just want to see different teams. You want to see, and you know, you got your good quarterbacks in the AFC that haven't really had a chance to hoist the Lombardi Trophy because they've been under the thumb of this Chiefs dynasty. But, you know, it's impressive for the Chiefs to have played in, you know, the same era where, you know, they have had to play against Josh Allen. They've had to play against Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. And they've been to five of the last six Super Bowls. So, you know, you got to tip your cap to them because it's not just the officials and it's not just whatever. They just know how to win games. And, you know, is that going to be enough for them, you know, against this good Eagles team? We'll see. Definitely the Eagles, you know, coming in, they're sort of the high-flying, you know, typical, you know, team that comes not even sort of out of the woodwork. They've been knocking at the door for a little while now. But, yeah, they have all sort of the backing of, you know, large talented roster, a lot of explosive guys, especially on that defensive line, you know, fronted by Jalen Carter. But, yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a good one. 1 second here. Sorry, I needed a sip of water there. You know, I expect this game to be just as good as their matchup 2 years ago, which I think would be one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen. And it was the best game that Jalen Hurts probably had of his career, minus that fumble, you know, at the 50-yard line or wherever it was. It was sort of around near midfield where he just seemed to drop the ball while he was scrambling. It was the best game I ever saw out of Jalen Hurts, which is sort of the question mark in this game. You know, I just don't think that Steve Spagnuolo on the Chiefs, the best defensive coordinator in the game at the moment, I just don't see him letting Saquon Barkley, you know, run off for 200 yards on him in this game. If that's the case, then yeah, then the Eagles are going to win because there's just too much talent on both sides of the ball for the Chiefs to be able to handle, I think. If you're just going to let Saquon, you know, run off on you for three touchdowns and 212 yards, yeah, you might as well just call it a day. But I just think Spagnuolo, too experienced, too good. He's going to have 2 weeks to cock up a game plan to at least bottle that up. You know, maybe, I mean, it's hard to stop to make Saquon a non-factor, because especially when the Eagles have so many weapons that you have to worry about. So, you know, I would expect something out of Saquon. I'm not going to say he's going to be a total zero. But they will. If the Eagles win this game, it will not be because Saquon went off. I would be stunned if that happened. I think if the Eagles are to win this game, it's going to come down to two things. It's going to come down to that defensive line against the Chiefs' offensive line. You know, when you think the one time that the Chiefs didn't win the Super Bowl against that Tom Brady-led Bucs team, that offensive line got obliterated by the Bucs defensive line. And one could argue that the Eagles have a better defensive line now than that Bucs team did then. And that Bucs defensive line held the Chiefs to 9 points, which is crazy in retrospect. But, and it's probably maybe the worst game that Mahomes has ever had, and he was running around all game. You know, the Chiefs offensive line is this Chiefs offensive line, I think, is better than that was, but it hasn't been a strong point for them all year. And, you know, it could come home to roost in this game. It didn't come home to roost in the last one. You know, Buffalo has, you know, a good defensive line as well, and they really weren't able to take advantage of it. But if the Eagles are to win, it's going to be making Mahomes run around like a, you know, a chicken with his head cut off in the backfield. And it's going to come down to the quarterback. You know, like I said, I don't see the Chiefs letting Saquon go off for them on 200 yards. Maybe, I mean, like I said, it's going to be hard for him to be held to nothing. But ultimately, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have to be the one that beats the Chiefs. And that's where I struggle with this game. And that's why I'm leaning the Chiefs in as my pick. You know, I just, it's been a running issue kind of all year, the inconsistency of Jalen Hurts. And I don't know, I just have a hard time seeing him beating the Chiefs in the biggest moment. Definitely, you know, has had flashes before, and I even thought he played pretty well against the Commanders, but they had already kind of, you know, separated themselves on the scoreboard at that point. But yeah, no, I'm going to pick the Chiefs because I just know that it's going to be a close game. I'm expecting it to be a close game. A lot of people expecting it to be a high scoring game, much like their first one was. I'm kind of on the fence about that. I think both defenses are capable of sort of stagnating the other offense. I know a lot of people are on the over in this game. I'm kind of leaning maybe the under. I don't think it's going to be as much of a shootout as the first game was. I do think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a good, well-played game. I mean, I know the Chiefs are going to play well, even if Mahomes is under pressure and incapable of, you know, getting much going. I don't think that the Chiefs will make as many will make the mistakes to make it a sloppy game. But you know, the Eagles, on the other hand, that's where I lean on the Chiefs. Is I just feel like when it gets down to, you know, 5 minutes left in the game, it's a 3-point game. What's going to happen? I've seen it a million times with the Chiefs. I know that they make the play. They execute when you need it the most. They could even really not even play that well for 55 minutes. They just hang around. And if it's a one possession game late, they just figure it out in that last 5 minutes. As it goes for the other side, haven't really had to deal with much of that. They've been a bit of a front-running team, the Eagles, you know, and, you know, they blew a lead against the Commanders earlier in the year. So I just know that it's hard. I have to question whether if we get to the end of the game and it's a close game, if the Eagles can make the play to close it out, to really stick the dagger in the Chiefs' throat. And I just don't know. With the quarterback and the coach, I just don't know if I have the faith in it. I think that if the Eagles are to win, they're going to have to win sort of going away. They're going to have to do what the Bills did earlier in the year in Buffalo. They're going to have to win by, you know, 9 points, basically. They're going to have to win by two possessions. They're going to have to separate themselves from the Chiefs. They can't give the Chiefs the ability to just hang around. Kind of the similar thing with the 49ers did last year. They just let the Chiefs hang around. Chiefs didn't really play that great for most of that game. And then we got to the end of it, and all of a sudden Mahomes, you know, is going to do Mahomes things, and he's going to close out the game for you. He's just a winner. And Kelsey's a winner, and Andy Reid knows how to coach that team up where they just don't make the mistakes at the end of the game. So I think that that's what it's going to come down to. I think it's going to be a tight, close game. It's going to come down to those last 5 minutes, and I just know the Chiefs are going to make – I just feel pretty confident in saying the Chiefs are going to make those plays. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I hope it's, you know, a bit better. I hope it's just as good of a game as it was 2 years ago. I know last year's game went into overtime with the Chiefs and the 49ers, but I never really felt like that into that game. I don't know what it was. It just was kind of like a sloppy game on both sides, and then it sort of opened up at the end of in the fourth quarter. And it ends up going to overtime. It was only the second Super Bowl to go to overtime, so you got to kind of give it that nod. But I hope this game is is closer to the game 2 years ago, where it was just sort of a shootout. It was going back and forth. And that's not to say that I don't want to see, good defense. I definitely would like to see some well-played defense. What I don't want to see is sloppy offense. That's sort of the thing. But one thing that I will say that's in, the Eagles' court, I was a pro on the Eagles' side, is that I feel like all the pressure is on the Chiefs, and maybe they can use that to their advantage. A lot of people, even though the line is close, it feels like a lot of people are just kind of expecting the Chiefs to just go in and do what I just said. They are the ones with the burden of history on their side. Going for a three-peat, first time ever in NFL history. This is the first time that a team's ever really had the opportunity to three-peat. And that comes with a lot of pressure, as you saw with the 07 Patriots and the undefeated season. And that can, weigh heavy. And they've played a lot of football the past 3 years. You got to take that into consideration as well. Not to cross sports, but was it 2 years ago that the Tampa Bay Lightning, they were going for a three-peat in the Stanley Cup final, and they just sort of shit the bed at the end against the Colorado Avalanche in that Stanley Cup final because they were worn out. They had played a lot of hockey, and you kind of wonder if that's the same thing with the Chiefs, is that they've been at the top now for so long. And everybody's been gunning for them for so long that eventually that just gets it just gets mentally exhausting, if not physically exhausting. And you gotta wonder if, this is just the time that they crack. So, that could be the case. We could see an uncharacteristic Chiefs team, but I don't know. They haven't really shown any signs all year. That's sort of the difference between, this Chiefs team and that 07 Patriots team. Was that 07 Patriots team, there was, there was some twists in the wind throughout the year, even though they were winning games. The Chiefs have really, they, like I said, they win by the skin of their teeth, but they consistently win by the skin of their teeth. They've been winning by the skin of their teeth all season long. So, I just, that's just the way that they win games. They don't win games, 45 to 14. They win games 27 to 24. They beat you 24 to 21. They're just built to win a close game. And I don't know if the Eagles are. I think the Eagles are meant to be a front-running team. And if they can't get out ahead of the Chiefs early, or maintain a lead, in the middle of the game, I think that they're asking for trouble, and I just feel like that's what's going to happen. I just think they're going to let the Chiefs hang around too long. Mahomes is going to get the ball in his hand at the end of the game, and he's going to make the plays that win it. So, yep, I'm picking the Chiefs three-peat. I know that that's going to be to much of the dismay of Patriots fans around here, but. You can't discredit the Chiefs, dynasty. They are definitely a special team. And I wouldn't say it necessarily puts them ahead of the Patriots, but it definitely puts they're coming for them, especially with the three-peat. They'd be the first team to ever do it. So here's hoping it's a good game, and here's hoping that the fights tonight are entertaining as well. So catch you guys later.